of the really good John Lewis Christmas adverts. It tells the story of Elton John, and it begins with him sitting at the piano, reflecting on his life and success. And the video then works its way back through various performances of his hit, Your Song, until it finally revealed that the story all began with a piano that he was given for Christmas as a young boy. Now, at the time of release, the advert did have some mixed reactions. For some, they couldn't believe they just spent 2 minutes watching an Elton John promo video. Others were quick to point out that John Lewis doesn't even sell pianos. Still others wondered what Elton John would have been if he'd been given plasticine for Christmas instead of a piano. Maybe a sculptor, but then again, no. It was a big hit and watched over 10 million times on YouTube. And the thing that people seem to have most enjoyed about it is how it's about the profound difference that a gift can make to a person's life. A present is something that can inspire the person who receives it. And for many, the advert perfectly depicts the hopes and the dreams that parents have for their children. But let's think for a moment about how the advert works. How does it inspire? It's really very simple. The way that the advert is able to inspire and bring hope is because it starts at the end point. It starts with Elton John, the success, the man who has made it. And then it goes back to show you how he got there. It was the giving of the right gift all those years ago that led him to where he is now. This approach is quite well documented, not least by the 20th century German philosopher Ernst Bloch. His theory was that the way to inspire people and give them hope is to present them with what life could be, to present a dream, an ideal, and then propose that now we take steps that work towards that dream or ideal. In the case of the advert, the dream is the success, and so choose the right gift for your child at Christmas to get them on the right track. Now, Bloch's thinking is very influential today, even if you don't know it by name. And I wonder if you recognize it. For example, in many ways, the hope that the world has is a future that we imagine it to be. And so we take steps now to bring about the future. So for example, we imagine a world that is green, and so we try and recycle and use renewable energy. We imagine a world that is healthy, and so we develop medicines and try to eradicate diseases. Or we imagine a world that is just, and so we make laws and go to court. It's our dream of a better world that determines what we do now. Interestingly, this year, Shipley College has used this approach in the advertising. So advertising the college, the slogan alongside a photo of a potential student was, "The next Hockney lives in Bingley." On another, with a different photo of a potential student, it read, "The next Vivian Westwood lives in Bradford." So do you see how it works? Start with the dream. Whether it's to be the next Vivian Westwood or the next David Hockney, and then take steps to get there. In this case, enroll in Shipley College. Now you might think, what's wrong with that? Let's dream dreams and move towards them. But consider for a moment a couple of crucial questions. The first question is, do we ever arrive at the dream? Or are we just travelling, hopefully? Because there's no guarantee, is there? The better world that we have just imagined is just something that we have imagined, made up. But things may never be like that. You know, we may well buy a piano or a musical instrument for our child this Christmas, but they may have no interest in it. And even if there is an initial interest, they may well give up when they get bored. Second question is, who is the dream for? Who will get to enjoy it? For some dreams may take generations to succeed. I mean, take the issue of the green world. Even if we were to make a world that was free from pollution and sustainable, by the time we've achieved that, some of us won't be alive any longer. People speak of preparing a future for others, getting it ready for our children. And whilst they may benefit from our efforts, we won't be able to enjoy it with them. So whilst this approach of dreaming dreams and seeking to move towards them is popular, and at one level it appears inspiring, does it really deliver? Will we ever get there? And even if we do, will we be there to enjoy it? Well, at this point, I'd like to read a few sentences from the Bible. They're taken from the end of the Bible, and they're part of a vision of what the world will one day be like. The text is printed in your service sheet if you want to follow, but let me read it now, and it says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." This vision is written in a style called apocalyptic, which we may not be familiar with. It uses a lot of symbolism. Yet the essence of what John sees is nothing less than a new creation. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." The first creation that passes away refers to what God made in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made everything, and therefore, he owns everything. Yet, humanity declared self-ownership. Humanity decided that they do not belong to God, but themselves. "It's my body. I can do what I want with it." This is theft, stealing from God. As a consequence, creation fell under God's judgment. Humanity was banished from God's presence and faced death. But God will not let his creation come to ruin. And this vision is a vision of a restored creation. God dwelling with his people, no longer any suffering and death. Now, at this point, you could be thinking, how is that any different from the kind of thing we've already seen? Isn't this just another dream? Another, I like to think the world will be like this one day, albeit a Christian version. But that's not what's going on here. John is not dreaming this up. It's a vision given him by God. This is God telling John what the world will look like in the future. That is to say, this vision comes as a promise from God. It's in the next sentence that we're told that the angel who gave the vision assured John that these words are trustworthy and true. But are they? I mean, the thing about a promise is, who's making the promise? Can they be trusted? Can God be trusted to keep his promise of a new creation? Well, we might be tempted to think that God hasn't kept his promise. But God has kept his promise. He kept it when he sent Jesus at that first Christmas. And the Bible describes how God has already done the hard part. The hope of God is established through the death of Jesus. Jesus died in the place of his people and takes the punishment they deserve so that his people can be forgiven. But a natural follow-up question would be, how does a death establish the hope of the future? Well, Jesus didn't remain dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. And his resurrection guarantees the hope we look forward to, the new creation we read of earlier. God's promise has been kept, and the hope we can have is guaranteed. Just as he was raised, anyone who is forgiven by him will be raised up as well. Do we ever arrive at this hope? Yes. It's not imagined. It's objective. It's grounded in the return of Jesus. Who is this hope for? It's not just for those who are around when Jesus returns. For when he returns, all who believe in him will be raised to life to be part of the new creation. Well, the John Lewis advert we began with certainly does make us feel like Christmas is here. And as intended, it brings us a feeling of hope. But how reliable is the hope it offers? We all have dreams, but sadly not all our dreams come true. But the Bible tells us about a hope that is certain and is available for all to enjoy. It's the hope of a new creation that comes as a promise from God, a promise that he has already acted to keep in sending Jesus. If you would like to know more about the hope that the Bible tells us about, there are a number of ways that we might be able to serve you. The first is to join our course, The God Who Makes Himself Known. It's an introduction to the Bible, and we're increasingly finding that people have never really read the Bible before. And the place to understand what Christianity is and who Jesus is to go back to reading the Bible. And the course will introduce you to the message of the Bible and the God who makes himself known. You can sign up for the course by filling in one of the cards on your table and handing it to one of the welcome team on your way out. Another possibility would be to pick up a copy of the book, Reflection, Made to Be Like Him. Now this book is starting a bit further back, so that before you even start reading the Bible, you might have questions as to whether Christianity is credible and worth a look. It covers four topics: love, justice, science, and justice, and in each case shows that the things we hold dear can only be accounted for by the God of the Bible. You can pick up a free copy of the book at the back. It's also available as an audiobook on our church website. So there's the course, there's the book, and then finally, you might like to try us one Sunday at Trinity Church, Bradford. We meet every Sunday, 10:30 a.m. at the Midland Hotel in town. And these next 2 weeks, we're going to be thinking further about the real meaning of Christmas. For more details, just check out our website. Well, thank you very much for listening. And in a moment, we're going to sing our next carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful.